Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, I'd like to think of this as a Law and Order Thursday edition. How you doing, little buddy?
I'm in a really good mood today, Crudy. Law and Order seems to be playing out before our very eyes. Evan on the board, our fair audience, thank you for joining us. The headline, top line news, Crudy. This was my headline. This is my go-to today. Ellen Weisselberg, the former Trump Organization CFO, I believe that's the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization. Well, he pled guilty to 15 felonies today, and as part of a deal, he has to serve perhaps 100 days, I think, at Rikers, 100 days, and testify truthfully against the Manhattan DA's case against the Trump Organization. But he will not have to testify against Trump himself. However, how can you go after the Trump Organization, which is, of course, Trump, and not implicate the man? I think it's going to get Trump either way. But step one, Weisselberg pled guilty today, 15 felonies. Looking at 15 years max, settle for 100 days plus the testimony.
Although the judge apparently did threaten Weisselberg and said if it was the judge's impression he wasn't being truthful in the October trial of the Trump org, then he's going to get the 15 years.
Oh,
that's going to sting a little bit.
Got some motivation, Crudy. Hey, I want to throw this one out there. In his own statement, Bragg, Mr. Bragg, your favorite guy, Crudy, the Manhattan DA, emphasized.
La, 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 la. I don't even think that man deserves to have his name spoken.
Come on, man. He's the one prosecuting the case. The plea, quote, directly implicates the Trump Organization in a wide range of criminal activity. We look forward to proving our case in court against the Trump Organization. So congratulations, Mr. Bragg. Now, perhaps you can, you know, twist this, lean this, you know, slices into something else against Trump personally, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
I would settle for a death penalty for the Trump Organization. I mean, that would be financially devastating. I'd rather see Trump go bankrupt than go to jail. And I don't
like
mean
both. That'd be fine. I mean, that way you can't, you know, pay off at the cigarette stand. But
financial destitution would be a fitting end for Trump's life. And then bury him out by the first tee on a golf course somewhere.
You got to get some sort of tax break for that. So big news, man. I think this is big news.
Well, I would say what was the advice given Hirschman? I believe the counselor that's soon to be giving testimony before the January 6th committee.
Yes, the third White House attorney to do so.
I think the advice he gave recently is get yourself a good effing defense attorney. Right. But here's the problem for Donald Trump. He can't find one. Or at least it's being reported he can't find one. Dom, Trump is denying those claims, though. He's got the best lawyers, only the best. Normally he hires only the best lawyers. Like Michael Cohen and Rudy Giuliani.
Hey, Trump, he tells you. He put out a statement. I guess he's very mad about this accusation that the Washington Post made a couple days ago that Trump can't hire any good lawyers. And here's what Trump said. The Washington Post story that Trump is scrambling to add seasoned lawyers to the Mar-a-Lago raid case is, as usual, fake news. I already have excellent and experienced lawyers. I am very happy with them. This is highly political prosecutorial misconduct. I have not been charged with anything. And most importantly, I did nothing wrong. Thank you.
Thank you. At least he's polite. Dominic Alexandria Petrie, who writes a column occasionally satirically over at the Washington Post,
you think?
Posts this headline. Donald Trump's classified ad. All caps. Legal help wanted. 3 exclamation points. Petrie writes, former President Donald Trump and his close aides have spent the 8 days since the FBI searched his Florida home, rushing to assemble a team of respected defense lawyers. But the answer they keep hearing is no. That was the headline at the Post yesterday. Here is the newest headline. Legal help wanted. Must be experienced lawyer. Can't say if things are legal or if not, how to make them legal. Knows all the laws, but isn't too attached to them. If client has an exciting new idea that might or might not be in keeping with the law, lawyers should be at least open to it and not come across all judgmental. A little bit more, Petrie writes, some would say satirically, must be willing to think outside the box, should be at least familiar-ish with the laws that are laws for now, but might be repealed soon. Rand Paul's working on it as hard as he can, but he can only do so much. In court appearance, looks like a lawyer. Ideally, sort of a Sam Waterson. Young, mid-2000s is best, but anyone from the main Law and Order cast is okay.
SVU must be okay. Maybe okay. We can discuss. Compensation, Crudy. Doesn't like money too much. Is motivated to do great work for reasons other than money or being paid promptly. Ideally not obsessed with financial compensation and can find other rewards in the work itself. We will pay you in lots and lots of exposure. Ideal position for someone who wants to be on the national stage and is not obsessed with billing hours.
Doesn't know my lawyer, but go ahead.
Seen Florida. Loves to be around brass. Hypothetically, can look at a document and explain if it is supposed to be a secret document or not. Client, flawless, a god, will not listen to advice, will use own judgment regardless of what you suggest. Required experience, Crudy? Nice to have. Previous dealings with federal criminal probe. You got more of this, Crude?
Oh, yeah. Other acceptable forms of experience? Being on TV, on a panel, and yelling. Being on TV on a panel and maintaining a judicious silence. Being on Fox News. OAN acceptable, but not preferred. Being in real estate. Appearing on TV in a commercial with at least a couple of cool sound effects like the gavel going slam. Or cash register going cha-ching. Appearing on a big billboard in a good location. Having passed the bar. Oh, is that required? Having passed a bar. Well, Rudy's never done that. Own several of those big leather-bound books with all the laws in them. I own many, many leather-bound books. Has a desk blotter. Has lots of fancy pens. Has a business card that says, lawyer on it. Has a business card that, on further inspection, says, lawyer on it. Once met Mike Lindell. Active member in good standing of our legal advice. Or has a friend with an account who can ask questions for you. Do you know what the Our Legal Advice is? That's like a, you know, an online column sort of thing. You pay a subscription fee, you get your legal advice. Might be a good option for Trump soon. A little bit more, Dom. Ideal candidate is open to having free ketchup shared with them, sometimes at a very fast speed. Is open to being given free plates, sometimes very fast. Is open to sharing steering wheel with a former government official. Good reflexes required. If not open to sharing, and no-nos do not apply if any of these apply to you. If you would describe yourself as a real big stickler for upholding the law, or if you get mad if the client ignores your legal advice, or not at least a 9 if female.
Oh,
you know, being hot is a prerequisite. I don't know how Christina Bobsled or Cleta Mitchell or Sidney Powell, but I'll move on. Or Jenna Ellis, really, quite frankly. If you say stuff like, instead of repealing all the laws and inciting the public against the people whose job it is to enforce them, maybe you could simply try obeying the laws, not necessarily at this time, or if you're Rudy Giuliani again. I didn't quite understand the end, but you get the satirical punniness of this article. Alexandria Petri over at the Washington Post, fella.
So spot on. She is funny. Well, of course, the M part. You know, instead of repealing all the laws and inciting the public against the people whose job it is to enforce them, maybe just simply obey the laws. I mean, it's very simply
slow
simple
down.
Lawyer advice that is a no-no for Trump's lawyers' legal help wanted ad, Alexandria Petri at the Washington Post. Some funny stuff.
You know, laws are for the little people, for the suckers, Tom.
Like taxes?
Like taxes.
Taxes, yeah.
Although that seems to be the problem. Weisselberg has run into it, the CFO of the Trump org. $1.9 million fine. That's a lot of tax avoidance. I got to think Trump would be subject to substantially more. What do you think?
Well, that's how do you not? I mean, how does Alan Weisselberg plead guilty to felonies? Certainly, he wasn't the only one. There's other signatures, presumably, on all these documents or some of these documents.
Yeah, Trump's.
Trump's, right. This is a small, as I read some article today, this is not Enron or J.P. Morgan. This is a small, family-run organization, and Trump's signatures are all over the place, as we've seen with the Stormy Daniels payoff. But, you know, in that case, what, his attorney? You know, the fall guy, the fixer, went to jail. He took the fall. Trump essentially got away with it. In this case, his CFO is taking the fall, man. The CFO of the Trump Organization, Trump's namesake corporation, pled guilty to 15 felonies. 15 felonies. So,
you know, we know a big shack.
And now, of course, this case going against the Trump Organization, if the CFO of that organization, they're suing, of course, the corporation, certainly the corporation was at least aware, you know, what was going on, and probably complicit in it. And there lies whether or not Bragg can slide this up somehow. I'm not sure. Maybe James Santel, our guest tomorrow, will be able to shed some light on how that might go down.
Well, I was going to point out, you and I, Dom, we've got a close friend who deposed the head of Enron, Ken DeLay.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember? Yeah. Wasn't it Ken DeLay? Do I confuse him with the former congressman? Tom DeLay was a corrupted former congressman. Ken DeLay, so I think. The smartest man in the room. You know, it's pretty scary if you're Donald Trump right now and you look around and the smartest guy in the room is Jared. You know you better get a good effing criminal defense attorney. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. A throwback Thursday edition. It's Friday Eve, and tomorrow, high school football kicks off. Kind of a big deal around here. Our pal Don Brown, he'll be offering play-by-play. Waukesha South joins us next. We'll tell you all about it.
Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it.
I am never going to financially recover from this.
Nice.
Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, please go online to darnwi.com. You can listen to and download podcasts and interviews.
Dominic, today is Thursday. That means it's Friday Eve. And Friday, usually our favorite day of the week. But this Friday, a special Friday. It is the kickoff of the high school football season. And we welcome our own Don Brown from WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, the Shaw. Don will be the play-by-play host of the Waukesha South Blackshirts tomorrow night. Don, welcome back to the show, man. How you been?
Hey, Don.
Hey, great, Mike. Thanks for having me back. Hey, Dom, where else would you rather be than right here, right now, talking football?
Well,
high school football.
I can tell you, Don, while you're covering the Waukesha Blackshirts, the Waukesha South, the fine high school football team, I will also be doing play-by-play tomorrow night for the Nakusa Papermakers, man. I am catching
We'll be covering the two best nicknames in the state, the Blackshirts and the Papermakers. How cool
Don,
is that?
Don, you got any advice for Crudy? I mean, it's been a while since he's trained for this.
I am a little rusty.
You know, I was hoping Crudy would do the first game with me. He could call the game and I could do color, or I'd call the game and he'd do. I think we'd make a great team. We've talked a lot of football over the past few months, so I think Mike's going to do great. And I've got some help with Johnny Watermelon doing color, so it's going to be a fun night.
Well, I'm going solo, Don. I feel like I can carry both parts on my own.
Oh, my.
You know, you'll have to come up with an alias, you know, that's doing the color. You know, we'll have to think of a name, you know, like Smash Mouth Mike or something that's doing the show with you. And you can, you know, like fake your voice a little.
Well,
you know?
I'm gonna do like a Trump voice and call the color guy the Hump.
There you go. The Hump. I love it.
So, Don Brown, tell us, obviously, we're very excited. WAUK. Launching our inaugural high school football broadcast tomorrow night. You'll be our play-by-play guy. Don, who's Waukesha South playing?
They are playing Milwaukee Martin Luther High School.
And Don,
we got to take a look at them last week.
Yeah.
They're a big team, but they're young. And it's kind of a program in a rebuilding mode. So, you know, and it's a non-conference game, so we'll see how our guys do.
Don, are there any stars of the Waukesha South team? Anyone we should be listening for on the radio tomorrow?
There are. You mean you don't listen to my show every Saturday at 8?
Well, I know that you featured a couple of fine young high school players last Saturday, didn't you? Who'd you have, Don?
Yeah. Yep. Two Division I recruits, quarterback and free safety, Tack Tadioka, and running back, D-line, linebacker, jack of all trades, C.J. Johnson, both of them Division I recruits, as well as getting a lot of calls from D2 and prominent D3 programs. And so it's going to be a really exciting year for them. And then there's just a great supporting cast. The junior class, my son Evan Stout is part of that crop of players. I've been following them since.
No favoritism, Pops. No favoritism.
No, not at all. Yeah, Evan's just one guy. But, no, there's and there's also some great senior leadership. There's a D lineman named Evan Marks who also plays some linebacker. A great receiving core that includes Tyler Thrill Williams, another junior. And there's two secret seniors that I can't mention that just joined the team that came from another, did a lot of great things for another great Waukesha South High School athletic program. That's all I can say for now. But there's a lot of excitement about these two very talented young men joining the squad at the last minute and adding some more strength to this club.
Don promises so, game day drama at the Waukesha South game tomorrow night. Is that a home game?
It's alumni night too. So they got a dedicated tent out there on the road in the end zone side, and it's just for the alumni. That's complete with adult beverages and eats, and it's a great way to celebrate the alumni, especially for the home opener every year. It's become a really neat tradition that Coach Darnell Wilts had kind of reinvigorated or made even more special. So a lot of fun things going on.
Don, I appreciate the fact that you have a particular knowledge of the hometown team. And obviously here at Civic Media, and we're going to be doing live high school football tomorrow night in Waukesha, as mentioned, 5:40 a.m. Don will be on the call. Our sister station, WIRI, in Wisconsin Rapids, Nakusa, I'll be doing the broadcast, but that's a one-time-only affair. You can listen on the stream, but Randy, the normal guy, will be back next week. He just had a conflicting event. But we'll also be featuring high school football through WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, our pal Chad Holmes. I mean, they do three high school football games every Friday night. So I'm telling you what.
That's great. I love that.
Don, suddenly we're in the high school football business, man. I'm very, very excited.
I know. Nothing like football on the radio. And real quick, Mike, I have an unfair advantage because when the boys were in youth football from this junior class, the dads had to volunteer for different things. I'd sign up for the PA, but I'd be doing a live broadcast during the game, and the refs had to yell at me a couple times, but they couldn't stop me, and the parents loved it. And a lot of the kids used the same nicknames that I came up for them with them when they were in seventh and eighth grade. So, yeah, it's really going to be a lot of fun.
Well, Don, ironically.
And a lot
ironically,
of parents already downloaded the app, too.
Awesome. That is awesome. Of course, you could also hear it on TuneIn at WAUK.
Yeah.
You can download the Devil Radio app, soon to be the Civic Media app, and use the Shaw side channel. And, of course, high school football everywhere except here in Madison. We're not going to be doing high school football in Madison. Too many, you know, in Milwaukee, they're losing. They're losing sports radio stations. People are going to be turning to this station for hometown football, Waukesha South. Up in WIRI territory, Nakusa. They're going to be tuning in for the Nakusa game featuring yours truly.
That'll be fun.
And our buddy Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio WXEO. So Get ready, folks. Friday Night Football kicks off tomorrow night. And of course, the Packers have their own, second preseason game. They're playing against the Saints last night. You know, I gave up Packer tickets for the right to be at the Nakusa Paper Maker game tomorrow night.
Hey, it's the real deal. It counts, man. It's not preseason. This is for real.
Not for these high school kids. Every game matters.
That's what I mean. It's the real deal. Yeah. Yep.
Don, look forward to hearing. Look forward to hearing your coverage of Waukesha South all year long. Don Brown, our good friend. And then Saturday morning, the post-game show, This Week in Waukesha.
This Week in Waukesha.
8 o'clock on Saturday mornings on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. Have a great game, Don. Go Black Shirts.
Thank you too, Mike.
We'll talk soon.
Go Pepper Makers.
Come back. More Devils Advocates, more sports, more football, more politics perhaps as well.
Winners. Winners get to do what they want.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I want to thank our most recent guest, Don Brown, former alderman from Waukesha, now play-by-play man on the Waukesha South Blackshirt football games kicking off tomorrow night. And Don has been doing Saturday mornings This Week in Waukesha. And as long as the weather permits, he'll be at the farmer's market on Saturday mornings. We're excited at Civic Media to continue offering hometown coverage. And that is part of the business model, if you will. If we're not doing it, there's a lot of these hometowns that will not have the local high school football coverage. So looking forward to doing my own little game in Nakusa tomorrow night. The Paper Makers, they beat Black River Falls last year. I'm looking for a repeat victory. Yeah, big Kirby, first kickoff man, of game
you,
of the year.
I know you do. You love it, man. I know you love the sports. I know you love the football. I can. It radiates off you just when you're talking about it, even at the high school level, man. So that's super cool, man. I appreciate that.
Well, Matt LePay's not leaving, but up in Wisconsin Rapids and soon in Richland Center, a couple of Packer, let me restate. Badger markets, Badger football and basketball markets, going to have the Packers in Richland Center. And, of course, the Brewers still in a late season. They're in second place. They're trailing the St. Louis Cardinals. But we got a couple of Brewer outlets as well. And most importantly, high school football. We're going to be playing it on WIRI in Nakusa. We're going to be playing it on WAUK in Waukesha and WXEO, Bull Falls Radio. And we're going to take your phone calls right here at 844-967-2789. Mary Jane from Waukesha. I think I met you on a Friday Night Live event. Welcome, Mary Jane.
Hi, Mary Jane.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. How are you on this lovely day?
Excellent. Awesome. Weather's nice, and tomorrow's high school football, and it's also Friday Night Live. I know the Friday Night Live's still going on in Waukesha. I'm going to be down there next Friday night. But how about you, Mary Jane? How are you doing, sister?
I am excellent. I'm traveling back to Waukesha from Door County. I was hoping to see the Northern Lights last night, which it was a bust. It was too cloudy, but regardless, I had business up here. But the reason I'm calling in is because I am so excited for WAUK and Don Brown and all the black shirts in Waukesha, which I am class of 77, which means I've been around a few years.
Are you going to be at the big alumni tent tomorrow night? I hear there will be adult beverages, according to Don.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't hear that, but that's why I'm racing back. I was one calling to confirm that tomorrow is the alumni night. I believe that is it. And to kind of get any details on that, if we have to be there ahead of time, I figure Don Brown would know. And then just to also... he's probably not listening, but a shout out to my son, who was class of 2016, Waukesha South, and played football. So he's a black shirt as well.
Well, once a black shirt, always a black shirt, Mary Jane. That's what I hear.
That's right. But, you know, Waukesha's whole program, Classic 8, has always been a huge program. And the spirit is there. You know, Waukesha South, the oldest school that we have, and they have a lot of spirit. They definitely have a lot of spirit. And now Don used to watch my son play football. Now I get to watch his son play football.
Yeah, it all comes full circle. I'm excited. My son actually is not playing football this year, but Middleton High School kicking off tonight, and a couple of his colleagues, his buddies, you know, growing up are now starters on the high school team. Hell, one kid in Middleton's being recruited by Penn State and a bunch of Power Five conferences. Some good young players, Mary Jane, and the success I'm sorry to cut you short, but the success of last year's Waukesha South basketball team. And that is a team that, you know, they came from the cellar and over the course of a couple of years turned it around and became a hell of a winning team. Hopefully they'll build upon that success. When Don's referencing a couple of secret new black shirt players, I think he's talking about a couple of basketball players that are going out for football their senior year. That's always interesting. Bring the athletes to the field. Dom, did you play high school football?
I did. I played a little high school football.
A guard?
Linebacker. I know, on like a 4-4 D. Yeah, so.
It wasn't eight-man football, was it? You know, they still play eight-man football in the state of Wisconsin. I believe Wausau Assumption. I was very, very concerned when I first started doing my prep for the Nakusa game tomorrow night. And I'm thinking, oh, God, it's not an eight-man game, is it? I don't even understand the eight-man game. But they are still playing eight-man football in certain parts of Wisconsin. Very small schools cannot field a full 11-man football team. Right. I think they have six, eight, and nine-man football teams at differing schools.
Man, when I was in high school, we had to play Saturday morning games, like noon games.
No lights.
We did not have lights on the field. And
Why don't the Catholics believe in paying the light bill?
That I was and staying up late and getting up early. It was, you know, Saturday games are really tough. I got to be honest. That was tough to pull off when you're in high school.
Was it the hangover, Dom?
Yes. Yes, it was.
You know, I would pretty much honored the athletic codes.
Not included. Okay. So you know, the other rules you pretty much kind of follow. It's like no weed rule. That one. Oh, not that one too. Wait, how many rules did you follow, Curdy? That'd be a shorter list.
I didn't drink much in high school. I wasn't a high school drinker. I didn't go to the keggers. You know, I stayed away because I was an athlete. And, you know, I already had a couple of strikes against me. I was suspended from sports for smokeless tobacco use. And I was starting to play varsity baseball my sophomore year. And I got busted. And my baseball coach's wife was the typing instructor. Well, I didn't know you couldn't chew in typing class. I mean, it's non-academic, right? Apparently, Coach Craig's wife didn't like it, and so she narked me out, and I got suspended. And
are you disposing of the chew at this point? I mean, how are you? I mean, how does that actually
come on, man? Work? I'm discreet. I wasn't like spitting on the carpet or something. Oh, no,
okay, but you know. Okay, so you were discreet.
But at some point, you know, get stuck in your teeth or.
So gross.
Something she, I know it's sort of a filthy, vile habit, addiction, if you will.
That you totally followed all the rules in high school.
But then I quit using tobacco after my sports suspension. I had quit using the tobacco.
Get on the straight and narrow, Curdy. Good man.
I did. And the coach wasn't suiting me up for the varsity game, so I showed him. I quit baseball. I joined track and I started chewing again.
Track?
Yeah, I threw discus.
Oh, yeah.
That was okay. You know, like conference, second, third in conference, but, you know, didn't make it out of regionals. That was okay.
How big of a community draw sports? I mean, you know, the football games. And I remember going to football games when I was like a young kid before I could actually play, as a high schooler. I mean, the crowd was packed. It was big. It was noisy. The band. It was an experience, no doubt. But is that still? Or do you think that is still such?
Have
a
you
draw
been?
No, I haven't.
I mean, I'm telling you, buddy. I know it's been a while for you, and I know you got high school age kids, but apparently you're not school civically minded. Don't go to the high school games, but I might go to Milton's game tonight. First and foremost, they are building out this incredible new stadium. I mean, they've had AstroTurf for at least a decade in Middleton. You know, I played on AstroTurf once in Camp Randall. and thought it was the coolest experience ever. These kids do that from like elementary school on. They're playing on AstroTurf. If you go to some of these high school stadiums, I went to a Sun Prairie game, and Sun Prairie has grown into an enormous, ginormous high school. Now they've divided into two high schools, but they use the same sporting facility. I mean, it's like a college stadium. It's a couple thousand, at least you could seat. AstroTurf, beautiful facility. Middleton's building something similar. I mean, there is a sort of an arms race going on with some of these high school football teams. And I don't know how the Nakusa Papermakers compete.
You're going to find out, man.
Well, I am going to find out. You know, but small schools, in 1984, I had the privilege of playing in a state championship game. And I swear to God, the whole town of Deerfield was there. The whole town. Like, they shut the door on the way out of town. Everybody was there. Even the thieves came to the game. You know, nobody got robbed that day, even though the whole town had vacated. And we played against, I want to say, Florence in the state championship game. And I got to assume the whole town of Florence had gotten on school buses and come down. And you go to Camp Randall Stadium, which seats about 80,000. And the entire community of Deerfield was there, and the entirety of the community of Florence playing the Division VI state championship, 1984. That's the smallest.
Is that the smallest? That's it, huh?
That's seven. Back then, there was no seven. Not then. There were 216, I believe, in our high school.
In the entire school. That's the smallest.
In the entire school.
Yeah.
And Florence, I mean, I think that's where big Tim went. Big burly Tim from La Crosse.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I almost want to say he was a Florence kid. He might have played on that state championship game. Man. He was. He was a ham. But anyways, we lost 12-0. But I did get to play as a sophomore in that state championship game. I got one tackle behind the line of scrimmage.
Nice.
So I call it a sack. I got a sack. And I was never more speedy, more fleet of foot than I was on that AstroTurf.
So that was a pinnacle of your sports career?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it's all over now, man.
My junior year, we were like 7-3 and missed the playoffs. And by the time I was a senior and hoping to get recruited to play college football, we were like 3-7. And let's just say the recruiter stopped calling. You know who did recruit me, though, sadly? The University of Wisconsin. And they were terrible back then. You young kids listening, like Evan, our producer, probably doesn't remember when the Badgers were god-awful. I mean, the Packers sucked through my youth. The Badgers were horrible. There was a little span with Dave McClain as the coach. I mean, they made it to like a couple of New Jersey bowl games. And that was like the pinnacle of the Badgers since Vanderkellen in the Rose Bowl back in the 40s. And then Don Morton became the coach. Don Morton, on the death of Dave McClain, Don Morton ran the wing tee in the Big Ten. You knew that wasn't going to work. I mean, it was like he was running an Oklahoma offense, but it was horrible. And the quality of players they got here, no offense, I knew some of those players, but they weren't good. They weren't as talented as the Ohio State, the Michigan players. It was really a terrible, terrible team. So they recruited me, you know, as a really bad high school football player that thought he was good enough to play in college, but not good enough to play at a real college. I got recruited. And Coach Morton invited me to the game, the Iowa game, and said, you know, like you to come out and take a look and see if you want to walk on here. Because they weren't offering me a scholarship.
No.
So I said, okay, coach, but I watched at home. I didn't go get my ticket. And we got beat like 31-3 that game. And then Morton called and said, oh, let me make it up to you guys. So he gave us tickets to the final game of the season. And the Badgers played against Michigan State that day in a snowstorm. And Lorenzo White came to town
and racked up
354 yards rushing, set the Big Ten rushing record. And they wanted me to come and be their middle linebacker, this slow white kid. And I'm like, no. So I went to La Crosse. And I thought by going to La Crosse, somehow I might be good enough to play there.
It's a smaller school, right?
Dom, there were four All-State linebackers, two future All-Americans, one NFL starter that were ahead of me on the bench. I became the equipment manager. And later, the sports editor of the university newspaper. And eventually, I worked for ABC. I got to cover the Packers and the Vikings.
Hey, don't forget about Sports Talk Live, man.
Oh, I originated a radio show. Well, it was a TV show, I guess, on the cable access dial came out, the test patterns, 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoons. And that show existed, last time I checked, it had been over 20 years in existence. I created something. My kids aren't that old. So, you know, I got that going for me, which is
which is nice.
Sports Talk Live, my claim to fame up until now. That, and I got an interception against Poinette in a high school football game, and I had nothing but green in front of me. I'm running for the touchdown. I got tackled from behind by the quarterback. I almost coughed the ball back to the other team. And that was my greatest high school football moment. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. I'll be calling Nakusa Papermakers tomorrow night. It'll be epic.
Badgers? We don't need no stinking badgers.
Fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open for your take, as always, 844-967-2789.
Sports Talk Live, what do you got for us? Dominic, I tried to talk you into doing a little sports talk today, other than the high school football, a little dilop of that, because we're kicking off right here on Civic Media tomorrow night. Don't forget WAUK Waukesha South on the WIRI signal in Wisconsin Rapids, Nakuska. Nakusa, yours truly will be calling the Nakusa Papermakers game. And our friend Chad Holmes, he'll be doing the games up in Wausau on Bull Falls Radio WXCO. But Dom, when we were in college, we actually knew an elite athlete. And I mean, we all have dreams. We, you know, play a little high school football or whatever and think we're not half bad. Maybe I could play on a college level. Well, maybe not in my case, but other.
Five, six. I was never going to play on the college level.
Well, more dedicated athletes, better athletes than us might have, you know, dreamed of playing on the college football level. But when we were in college, we played with a guy. And when I say played with, I meant mostly intramurals, a guy named Bill Schrader, who was an elite athlete, world-class athlete, 18-time All-American in track and field. And I was the university's sports editor of the paper. And we'd go to press on Wednesday nights at like 4 in the morning. I'd get to start laying out mine. So I had this weightlifting class with the the college football coach, Roger Herring. And the star quarterback, Gannon, would take attendance. I mean, this is a guy who became an All-American and, you know, the team, I believe, won the national championship that year. But Roger was telling me about this track kid he had recruited to come play football, this Bill Schrader. Oh, you're going to love this kid. You're going to love this kid. And then I'd stiff Roger. I'd skip his class every Thursday because we had press the night before. And Gannon would just mark me present. Well, I skipped half the classes in the semester. But thanks to my buddy Gannon, got an A-plus in that class. Then I think Roger favored me a little bit. But anyways.
Oh, that happens. Not weird.
So Billy Schrader, after this tremendous single season of college football, scored like 14 touchdowns, a lot of them in the 100-yard kickoff return sort of variety. And so he got drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the 6th round. And he's still in college. And the U.S. track and field team taps him out and says, you're so good at so many different events. We want you to go take on, who was it? The Don and Dan guys, the decathletes, the guys being featured in the Nike's ads. Well, he was better than those two guys at 8 of the 10 decathlon events. So he's training with the U.S. Olympic team. He's been drafted into the NFL. He's going to mini camps. And then he comes back on Monday afternoon, and he's playing in the lacrosse college intramural softball championship game against my team. And we've already played against Schrader's team in the flag football championship, and he beat us, and we didn't get a T-shirt. So anyways.
I'm still so salty about it.
I am a little salty. I'm still waiting for my first intramural championship T-shirt. My son played in a Special Olympics combined with the college kids at UW, played basketball this year, won a T-shirt championship, first year playing intramural as a high school kid, joining these college kids. He got a T-shirt. I went to college for like 9 years. And we go up and we play Schrader's team. And this guy, I mean, he could dunk like Michael Jordan. He played in the NFL for about a dozen years. Didn't actually compete in the Olympics, but he could have. And then he goes out and hits like 3 home runs in the softball game.
That just seems so wrong.
And like the third time he's crossing the bag and I'm like spiking him in the shins. I'm like, you know, you son of a. I'm like, at what point when you're a U.S. Olympian, when you're an NFL player, do you have to give up your college intramural eligibility, man? So I never got the T-shirt.
You never got the T-shirt. Yeah, he was an athlete, man, all the way around. And some guys just, you know, that's how they do it. They just have that ability. And he could hit that ball, dude. He could dunk. He could run. He was just a madman.
Next time I saw Bill Schrader, other than the fact he was often alligator arms across the middle, I mean, he dropped a lot of should have been touchdowns from Brett Favre because he just, you know, he didn't want to get hit. He was like Ronaldo Nehemiah, those track guys turned football players. They're not exactly known for their toughness across the middle, but Billy'd get that 30-yard sprint, man. He's so fast. He scored a lot of touchdowns, but I think he owes me a T-shirt. I really do.
I think you're right. We should reach out and get that T-shirt, man.
I think we should have OJ go rob him of his T-shirt. It's like the
don't do that.
That's my memorabilia.
Then that was Holmgren.
Roger right Herring. Oh, Mike Holmgren.
Yes, and then he grabbed Schrader by the face mask one time. Wasn't there some issues going on the sidelines?
I do think Bill did get screamed at by Coach Mike Holmgren, but you know who amongst us didn't?
Yeah, you, Crudy.
Almost. I was at a practice one time. I did get to cover the Packers in practice. Who was Jerkovich? Do you remember Jerkovich?
Not the name, yeah.
He was a defensive lineman, sort of a goofy, fun guy. I think that was his name. And Comedy Central came to town, and they were filming, and they incorporated him into this humorous Comedy Central thing. But they're filming at Packer training camp. And I'm there, and, you know, I'm just a young pup. I'm still sort of, I'm excited. I'm seeing people I idolized. I mean, I'm on the sidelines with Sterling Sharp. I'm looking at Brett Favre right down the sidelines. You know, guys like Reggie White, Sean Jones. These were Hall of Famers, sort of.
Is that how you felt when you went to the Trump rally?
Similar. It was a similar feeling.
Yeah, okay.
It was similar. You know, but anyways, the crowds... When they did this filming, the kids, they all get to be outside the practice area in Green Bay. They do it at the Don Hudson Center. This happened to be a public practice. And so anyways, the kids and whatever, they crowd around. They give the players the bikes to ride back to the training center.
Right, right.
But they're filming this, and I'm sitting here watching it. And so anyways, Jerkovich is done with this ad, and the Comedy Central crew and me and my guy, my reporter, and all of us, we're all going to leave, and Jerkovich opens up the gate, and like 100 kids come falling in like dominoes, right? And then I just remember Jerkovich going like, "Make a hole!" And like, I've never seen such compliant little kids in my life. It was like rows of soldiers standing at attention, and it was like we marched through these rows of little kids standing at attention, and I followed Jerkovich off the field. But he was a funny guy, and I've got a few better stories, like the day I interviewed Brett Favre, he was naked. I was wearing clothes. He had a towel on. It was in his locker. He'd thrown 5 touchdowns against the Bears that day. And his wife, Deanne, came and gave him a bag of peanut M&Ms. And I got stuck because of all the other camera guys and reporters crowding in. I was stuck. I wasn't going to leave. He couldn't leave. I couldn't leave. And he looks at me and he goes, "You hungry?" Yeah, kind of.
Always.
So I split a bag, you know, one of the big shareable size bags of peanut M&Ms with Brett Favre. That's also one of my a tattoo of a devil on his right cheek, ironically. I think he got that from me, you know, future devil.
Devil's
come back.
Is.
Hour 2, the happier happy hour. Rolling into more Sports Talk Live. Hour 2 is next.
Personal file, 69, offense, he was giving them the business.
The crowd is standing on his feet here at Augusta, the normally reserved Augusta crowd, going wild.